Grace and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. Reflecting on the Gospel today from Luke chapter 11, first 13 verses, Jesus and prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, sanctify us in your word. Your word to us is always the truth. Amen. Dear Christian friends, in the study of religions in RE and schools, and in the experience of meeting people whose religion is different to one's own, we make comparisons. You have deities, so do we. Worship is both geographical and ritual across the world. Personal experiences have some resonances, especially at the times of life colloquially known as hatch, match, and dispatch. But the Martian might conclude that religions on planet Earth have more in common than they have differences. People on planet Earth can think similarly. All good deeds lead to heaven. All prayers go to God, sort of idea. So when Christianity claims a uniqueness in the supermarket of religions, that is often deemed offensive today. After all, everyone prays. Possibly, though the atheists and humanists might dispute it. Nevertheless, among religious people, there is prayer. So we don't bat too much of an eyelid, or perhaps we should, when the disciples of Jesus, having observed him praying, send over a representative. Lord, teach us to pray. And we often don't hear the next bit, as John taught his disciples. Prayer is not a natural human action, such as breathing. It's more like swimming, where you have to learn to breathe while moving in the water. Thus, we learn prayer from a teacher. We learn prayer from others. We learn prayer from the patterns and even rituals we observe. We are taught prayer. We are taught to pray. That's what religious guides do at some point. They talk about prayer, they teach prayer, and they pray. And when they're praying, they are observed and possibly heard. We have no details about John the Baptist's prayer insights. But those disciples of Jesus, who were John's former disciples, wanted to enter Jesus' school of prayer. Jesus teaches to pray. And he does. At first glance, Jesus does what we expect the teacher to do. He tells us what to do. He gives us the code, the key, the abracadabra, so that our prayers will work. And for those who have already been praying, they want them to work better than before. Luke's account of this teaching gives us five of the seven petitions in the prayer we know today as the Lord's Prayer. And I don't know why, except to suggest that Jesus taught about prayer on many occasions, and Luke only focused on this particular scene, and for some reason Jesus only mentioned these petitions. However, what Jesus does here is not the run-of-the-mill prayer teaching. It is even clearer in Matthew's account, which is part of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' words are not the right ones, like your PIN you use for banking, where you get God now to spit out the amount and the type of need you want. Instead, Jesus' words describe who God is, your relationship, and how you relate to him. This is not a clever new teaching, but a claim by Jesus that sets Jesus apart from all the other religious gurus and teachers of the prayer. Jesus' teaching on prayer claims a uniqueness. That when the world stops and thinks about it and realizes that Jesus isn't giving a spiritual open sesame to goodies, but something else, the world might even string Jesus up. Oh, look. What Jesus does in teaching prayer is to claim to be God's son and then teach you that you can have his relationship with God. You can call God Father too and pray. And then you can go back into your living, out the door, to work, out the bedroom door, into your relationship, out the door, after church. You can go back into your life, this life right now, but in that very relationship with God. To pray this prayer that we call the Lord's Prayer is to trust Jesus that he's not getting us into trouble with God by being too familiar, close, or just downright delusional. So trusting Jesus and accepting his relationship with God is ours through him. We then learn what that relationship is like, and it is much more than having God as a vending machine. Our relationship with God is marked by God's name, God's kingdom, our living day to day in this world, dealing with sin through forgiveness and help in temptation. And that's according to Jesus' teaching, recorded by Luke on this particular occasion. Again, this only makes sense if you trust that the teaching isn't spinning you a yarn or pulling a fast one. But think about it. How do we know that any prayer on teaching is correct? Seriously. Unless you trust the teacher. Cut to the basics. I think people pray because they want something. I think people search for all sorts of new insights on prayer because the version they're using doesn't work all that well for them. God remains elusive, and we don't get all that much satisfaction. So what Jesus does after giving us his relationship with God and the words that shape and describe our relationship with God and with this world, in this world, is he tells us, when this prayer doesn't seem to work for you, persevere. And he does this with two antitypes, saying, look, if a persistent neighbour can get bread, and ungodly at an ungodly hour, and we do lots of wrong, but we try and do right by our own kids, if those two things can happen, for goodness sake, God is better than a harassed neighbour, and he's better than us. God will give to those who ask, not play hide and seek with those who seek, and open to those who knock. And I think more people are disappointed by these words than most others in the Bible, precisely when their prayers don't go as they want. Many are leaving God and Jesus and the church, I discover, is really about unanswered prayer. However, Jesus never taught a blank check theology. He revealed God and a relationship that God creates with us through Jesus. And there is a freedom rather than a blank check that we can pray as our needs and circumstances require. But it always remains within that relationship. And the most clear example here is that God will not answer a prayer that will harm ourselves or others. He will not do what we say when what we have actually prayed for definitely harms us or others, no matter how well-meaning the prayer is, or how heartfelt, or even how angry or how justified we might be. God doesn't give us access to him and his power so that we can destroy in his name and become a mini tyrant God in his name. What Jesus points out is that while we can give good things to our children, and usually they are good, we're not stupid, there are occasions when we get it wrong. And what we give has many negative consequences, and we later regret the gift. God, however, will always give us the Holy Spirit, for he is who we need most of all. You see, it is the Holy Spirit's role and task to convict us of sin, reveal Jesus as our Saviour, and guide us in living in this relationship each day through word and sacraments. Just as I pointed out to Abigail a little while ago, word and sacraments. Now, in particular, as we pray the Lord's Prayer, it is the Holy Spirit who confirms that this prayer, and it's one with a built-in date stamp, to be prayed at least once per day, give us this day, fourth petition, is not weak. It's a never-ending prayer, because each day the prayer opens for us new aspects of our relationship with God and with the people around us. Martin Luther understood this well when he taught what the Lord's Prayer meant. You might remember your small catechism, and if you want to check it, it's pages 323 to 325 of the hymnal. I like the hymnal because it's printed the small catechism in it. And he also reminded in section 2 of the small catechism, brackets 327 to pages 328, of the daily prayers that we can pray to God. It's built into our lifestyle at least 5 times a day. Other religions have other prescribed times. Luther said it's tied to our lives, when you get up, when you go to bed, and when you eat. So that's at least 5 times a day. Such prayer is more of a pause in the day. It's a bit like orienteering. You stop for a moment to get your bearings again. Remember who you are as God's children through Jesus. And then you embark on your journey again into your life and into the lives of the people around you. Prayer is not just a list of gimmies. Give me this, give me that. Prayer is a conversation. A conversation with God, where Jesus gave us the framework, which we personalise in our relationship with God. And it is a relationship with God through the very prayer, but also through word and sacraments and through meeting Jesus, where we are told and taught and reminded and encouraged again and again, who's the faithful one? And it ain't us. It is Jesus. It is God the Father. It is the Holy Spirit. You see, that's why we can keep praying. And when people feel guilty when they stop praying, that's why we can start praying again. That's why we can use the Lord's Prayer and return to the Lord's Prayer each day, many times a day. If we're not praying, we can return to it at any time, because Jesus has given it to us to remind us and confirm for us our relationship with God because of what he has done. And that's why stopping praying, and stopping praying this prayer in particular, is the top target for the world, our sinful and shameful flesh, and the demonic. Lord, teach us to pray. He has, and he does, and we do not go away empty-handed. It's just that the blessings we receive may not be the ones we're expecting. Lord, teach us to pray. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.